Yep, it's your boy MZ.
And your boy Vumi.
And this is the Much Chess Podcast. Okay. Well, I wasn't ready for your radio silence there. But yeah, today
I opened something on my PC and I thought that noise was getting recorded. But okay, if it wasn't, then sure, fine.
No, the porn on your PC wasn't getting recorded, dog.
Damn you.
But yeah, today we have a guest.
Indeed.
A brother of mine from back in high school days. Welcome to the Much Chats podcast, Musa Munatsi. Yeah.
Gentlemen, I'm honored to be an esteemed guest on the Much Chat podcast.
Okay, yeah. There we go. You finally got it out.
Yes, if you were actually live in the studio, we would have offered you some drinks. Or, you know, we have a very big bar here with all types of scotch, gin, and everything.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That's a pride. You're just saying that because you didn't go stock up before the lockdown.
Yeah, I won't lie. Everyone is complaining me as well, dog. But it is what it is. But really, beloved Musa, we just wanted to, you know, get your feeling on how things are going. You know, with lockdown, you know, how you guys are coping, family. You know, you in the UK there. How are things going? How is it being handled? You know, are you guys, you know, is it a lot different to what our experience is? But yeah, man, just you know, let us know your mindset, how things have been, what you guys have been up to. But yeah, first of all, tell us about where you are in the UK and how things have been going in terms of lockdown vibes.
Yeah, man, so basically where I am, obviously, you know, your boy MZ opened up by letting you guys know that you know, we are brothers from high school. And yeah, man, goes back, yes, it's like, it's, what is it, 14 years now, eh?
Nah, pops. Oh, you mean since we got there?
Yeah,
probably like 14 15 years. Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Old, beloved.
Yes, we've known each other for a while, but so I've known him from since then. But yeah, man, I'm in the UK now, and where I live is a city called Milton Keynes, and we are the home of where your boy Trent Alexander, not even, yes, it's Trent, no, where your boy Dele Alli started out before they fished him from Tottenham Hotspur. So we're just north of London. We're like northeast of London, so if London is Joburg, we are the Pretoria.
So, oh, that's mad close then.
Yeah, we're really not far from London. So but as a result, it looks like we are second or third in terms of positive infections.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people who are unfortunately passing away. You know, I was speaking to my cousins who live like maybe like 4 or 5 Ks from me. You know, they were going to come visit. But, you know, having heard that one of their good friend has passed away, they said, look guys, we actually can't take any chances, let's just stay in our homes and you know really abide by this whole lockdown situation. It's a bit crazy.
Sorry to cut you off there, pops, but you said that your cousins were gonna come visit you. So are you guys not like locked down? Is it like an advisory thing to say please don't go around? Or because clearly if they were going to come, it means that there wasn't anything that was really stopping them from doing that.
When I say that, I think it's just in terms of the geographic geographical location. They are really, really close to us. Like, you know, I could walk to them. Like I said, they're like you know, 4, 5, 6 Ks away from us. So okay, it's really not far. When I say they could have come, they were gonna come visit, they literally could have, and they've stopped and they've dropped off things. Like my aunt was just in South Africa. So, you know, she brought stuff like Samp and, you know, like Amasi and all that. She dropped that off and, you know, they were going to come in the house, but they literally parked outside and we had a whole conversation outside. We didn't even let them in the house because, yes, you know, we don't want to be seen to be doing that, you know, because the next thing they'll be like, you know, those blacks are across the corner letting their family. You know, we don't want that smoke. So obviously we didn't do that. But, you know, that's why I was saying, you know, they brought up one of their friends, you know, they just lost their father. And I think that was just due to them not being too diligent about the whole thing. So, you know, we've decided, like, as a family, that listen, although we've got family that are really close and whatever, we're not going to play around with this thing. And literally, we just go out to, you know, to buy stuff. Luckily, we have a shopping center that's not too far from us. You know, like 700 meters away is our shopping center. So when we need to go and buy stuff, we just go buy from there, like, you know. Yeah. So it's not too much of a big thing. But yeah, man, I think we're trying to take it as seriously as we can over here. Which is funny because I looked outside, we have a playground right outside my house, and you know, obviously people are getting quite sourced and stuff. So I think two teenagers ended up going to play on the swings and whatever, like, just now. So as I want to say, oh yeah, you know, we're taking it seriously, you know, obviously some people are not. And in Florida, I saw that the beaches were open and I was like, oaks, what do you mean?
Yeah, Florida. So the thing is, so in the UK, are you guys don't have a full on lockdown yet or anything? It's just more a suggestion to stay at home or what?
No. I think according to the government, it is a full on lockdown. And you know, we have care workers, like literally my neighbor I think she's an NHS nurse. Okay. And they called her. She retired. I think about 2 years ago, they called her out of retirement. They were like, listen, Slime, you need to come and help us out because things are not good. And, you know, our hospital is really under full operation. Like, it's full. You know, they had started construction and, you know, places were not occupied. But now they had to, you know, move people into those areas because things are so busy. So you know, it's not a joke over here, but I think it is a proper lockdown, like you know, instituted by the government to say to everyone, guys, stay at home, do not, you know, go out and whatever. So yeah
that's wild, man. You know what you're saying now, like, I can just imagine being like a retired healthcare worker and then being called in to come and do stuff. And you know, if you're retired, you're of the age that's probably the most vulnerable. And then now you get the virus, and then it might be a wrap, you know, quite quickly, because you are more susceptible to it, I guess. But yeah, that would be quite crazy. But in any case, so are there like people who are policing, or like are there policemen who are going around checking to see if people are actually complying with the government's, you know, lockdown?
Yeah, look, I think that's partial. Obviously, you know, when I tell you that I've literally been on lockdown for, I don't know how long now. I haven't left my house in maybe 2 months. Yeah, but that's just because I've been unemployed. And you know, luckily before this whole thing happened, I got a job. But
yeah, shout out to you, beloved. Yeah, shout out to you, man.
Yeah. Yo, that's impeccable timing.
Yeah, it's impeccable timing, but I haven't even signed the paperwork. So, you know, it's just a job in theory, and I'm training at home. But, you know, we haven't left the house. And you know, we have a policeman or policewoman, I'm not actually aware, but, you know, they live literally 150 meters away from us. And they're not out here, you know, being crazy or, you know, you can see that things have been instituted, you know, to get people to not play around. Like I said, there's a playground right outside our house. they put red tape around to let the kids know that, listen, this is not sanitary, because you know that you've got slides, you've got swings, you've got seesaws and whatever, and most of them are made out of metal, which is where the virus lives. So, you know, obviously they've let people know that, listen, don't do that, don't play on these things. And even at our shopping mall, we've got a not even a shopping mall, so it's like a small shopping center. There are two restaurants and a barber, and there's our surgery and a pharmacy. The pharmacy have instituted like precautions, like obviously they're like markings outside, which say, you know, you can only be, they're 2 meter distance markers leading up to the store. Near the shopping mall, not even shopping mall, the little, it's like a little spa. It's like the equivalent of a spa.
A center.
I guess you can call that. Yeah, what's it called? Tesco.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you know, there's little markers outside which say, you know, obviously only 6 people are allowed in the store at a time. And, you know, so you know, in terms of the police, there's not necessarily that much pressure or that type of thing. I think in London and more major cities, it's probably more intense. But like I said, I wouldn't have a good idea, because I literally have not left my neighborhood in over 2 months, so I wouldn't be the one to ask about that. But it looks like, you know, the police here have always had a positive relationship with the community, because we don't really have a lot of you know, crime issues here. I think the biggest crime that happened here was in like 2008, actually. Someone got stabbed, and that was literally it. There hasn't been much since then, so that's, we're pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's okay. That's interesting to see that in some contexts, like, the implementation is like, it's sort of the idea of the shutdown is there, but the enforcement isn't as draconian, I guess, because there's high levels of compliance, obviously, in more sort of peri-urban locations.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like it's a lot easier to institute those things, you know, because the sort of living areas, I guess, or the socioeconomic makeup is one that allows for more compliance. You know how we were talking yesterday, Vumi, about how in the southern suburbs it's much easier to comply with the rules, even though that's where most of the cases are, but it's still much easier to comply because of, you know, the way people live, the houses that they live in, the pieces of land that they're on. But yeah, man. So tell us, Musa, with regards to, you know, like, socially, mental state, being cooped up at home, you know, how's that? How have you guys been dealing with that? I know you say you're living with your family, so at least it's not just one man. But yeah, how have you been coping with all that stuff?
Yeah, man. So, you know, I've got 2 younger brothers. One of them is still in boarding school. The other one is in uni, and he's going to be finishing up soon. You know, obviously my brother, who's at boarding school, he went to the same boarding school that I went to, and you know, it's not too far. It's I think it's about 40 minutes drive. You know, what happened was, I think it was just before, I think about 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks before Easter started, the school shut down. They were like, listen, this pandemic is a real thing. We're going to get ahead of the curve. Everyone go back home. So he's been doing e-learning and stuff. And, you know, my brother, my middle brother, he goes to uni in London, and he had just moved out, like literally had just signed a year-long
lease,
and you know, he had literally, like, he was about to, you know, move in the microwave and the TV and all that, and you know, he had to come back home. My mom said, listen, my man, just come back home, be with us, where there's food, you don't have to worry about going out and, you know, being susceptible to this disease, rather come back home. So we've all, you know, cooped up here, and you know, like, we stocked up on mad board games. Like, we have two decks of cards. You know, as we started this call, I was just defeating my brother in Crazy 8,
whooping his ass.
Yeah, like, yeah. Guys, you know, when you go to your all boys school for most of your life, these things happen. But yeah, I mean, we're just finding things to do. We're staying out of each other's way at the same time, because you don't want to be, you know, I think you get that cabin fever when you're around, you know, your family for too long. Like, it just feels like, you know, like there's no breathing space. And, you know, that's why my mom makes it a thing to go for a 3K walk, because there's a lake quite close to us. So she goes for a walk, you know, every afternoon. My brother has been here. They're still doing work. So my brother's been doing work during the day. I also do work in the lounge. They do work in the study. And, you know, he's just found things to do. Like, he's completed a 1,000-piece puzzle. And it's literally right in front of me. I'm looking at it and I'm like, these pieces are so small. You must have time. But we all have time now. So, you know, everyone's finding things to do, finding ways to get themselves. And, you know, there's a negative in terms of the fact that this thing is affecting so many lives. You know, people who are not doing well economically are in a tough space. And, you know, we think about them, we pray for them. But on the other end of the stick, you know, people are sharpening up their skills. My uncle heard about this thing of Harvard offering some free courses. He signed up quick. And a lot of people are trying to better themselves. So, you know, there's obviously negatives to this whole thing, but there are some positives. I think you have to look at it in those terms. But, you know, obviously the cabin fever can really get to some of us. Like, you know, we almost had a fight at table the other day. I don't even know. I don't remember what it was about, but it was stupid. And, you know, we all apologized to each other and went about our business back into our rooms.
Sure, it wasn't over some chicken.
No, dude. Hey, bro. Listen. So yesterday, I gave my mom my phone to look at something. Next thing, Tinder comes up. My mom's like, "Musa, you're on Tinder." I was like, "What? No, what? Never."
Me? Tinder? Never. No.
Oh, game over, boy. Yes, as I felt so stupid.
Yeah, your guard is coming down when you're at home, bro. Eh?
Yeah.
I don't know how I allowed that to. And the thing is, I turned those notifications off, but then I turned it on that day. Ah, foolish.
So, speaking of chicken, I've been asking people this question, a couple of people this question for quite a while. What's the first meal you're getting when you're able to, like, go to the places you want to go and there's no restrictions? What's the first meal you're getting?
Sure. I think having not been in South Africa for more than a year now, for me, the first thing that I would get, and I would literally buy a plane ticket to go back and have it, is, you know, the 18-piece chicken licking hot wings with soul fire sauce.
That's okay. That's a good one. A good one. Ah, oh, damn, that is a good one.
Zed's going through it.
Hey, dog, because I'm picturing it right in front of me, dog. I'm literally salivating. Word. I come to think about it, I think before meals, the first thing I would get is probably a good bottle of Klein Zelzer champagne. Definitely that.
You see, it's because you're out of the alcohol loop, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because
that's
the first thing I would do. But then, and no, you're asking a good question, because I haven't really thought about what I'd eat, because I've only been thinking about what I'm going to sauce. But
priorities, that's how you know. You're a sauce fiend. Congratulations.
Hey, look, dog, but maybe what Musa said is actually a good one, dog. I think, yeah, man. Chicken licking Chicken licken sounds real good. Sounds real good. But I have been craving ribs of late.
That's interesting. My flatmate said that as well. But I won't lie to you guys. My first meal is going to be a full Nando's extra hot chicken with a large peri-peri wedges,
yes,
chicken livers, and yes, some pop.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Talk about carbs, to go all in. Listen, yeah, dog. Yeah, yeah. For me, there's no way you're going to finish that in one sitting as well.
Of course not, dog. I want it to last 2 days, 3 days.
Nah, don't do that to yourself. Because then, but listen, that, an extra hot as well. Is that how you always roll?
Are you different? I can't lie. You different.
Yeah, oh, what's it? You guys struggle with extra hot?
Nah, listen, dog, like, listen. I want to taste more of the chicken than I do the hotness. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to disrupt. Now you're doing that, you're disrupting your taste buds. Because your taste buds are going to be focused on, boy, it's hot here. What are you doing? It's very hot here. We can't cut the chicken. Like, what are you giving us right now? So for me, I'm a man of mild. That's where I sit. Medium.
Actually. Disappointing me. Might as well go to lemon and herb.
No. Listen, we grown men now.
Listen, Bobs. I'm not gonna lie to you, dog. Me, I'm a guy of lemon and herb. Obviously, sometimes. For real, dog. Sometimes I dabble in mild if I'm feeling like, ish, let me get a bit of, something on my tongue there. But me, I enjoy lemon and herb. I'm not gonna lie. I enjoy that. And then that comes with the spinach, you know? What do they call that? They call it the coleslaw. Spinach. Nah, the spinach, man. It's like
the spinach. Hey.
Yeah.
It's
not creamy spinach though, but there is a spinach, I definitely have hot in that because you can have the sauce, the Nando sauce, put in there, and that is just fantastic. Oh, yeah, Nando's is a good choice too for me. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, Nando's. That's the first one, and then I'm thinking like first restaurant. I'm thinking. This one's a tough one actually. I don't know.
Yeah, me, I don't think I'm gonna do restaurants at first, dog. I think it's gonna be about going out to the winelands, enjoying stuff there or eat whatever.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking. I include that as a restaurant. Oh, of course I'm gonna go eat like a nice those nice fancy meals where the plate is way bigger than the meal, but still tastes good because you paid a lot of money for it.
One of those 6-course meals. Those are dope.
Oh, hectic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if I was in Cape Town with you gents right now, I'll tell you where I'd go. I'd go to Rubens, boy. That's where I would head to.
Okay.
I've never been there, actually.
Oh, Rubens, excellent.
The one. How big is that joint, actually?
I think the place where we were staying... Zed, remember when I had that jaw?
Oh, that razzle.
Yeah.
In Franschhoek, wasn't it?
Yes, Franschhoek. Yeah. So that place actually had Rubens there. I remember that.
So he's got like a couple of franchises then, a couple of his restaurants maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard good things about Rubens. I'm not gonna lie. We definitely heard good things about that.
But man, let me ask you guys, how is your exercise routine going in these times of restriction? That silence says it all.
I'm waiting for Pops. Musa, you have to go. What have you been doing, dog?
Zed, speak, boy. Why are you asking about me?
Okay, we'll come to you. I'll let you give a think about it. Basically, because I'm in a what you'd call a decent matchbox flat, right? So everything is linear, pretty much in here. Bedroom is on the one side, the bathroom is on the other side, kitchen and lounge are in the middle. So there's like a passageway which sort of comes from the door all the way to the bedroom, and And there is where I lay my yoga mat down. I bust a bit of yoga here and there where I can. Do some, you know, normal, just like body workouts, you know, push-ups, sit-ups and stuff like this. And then I also run up and down, literally from the door to the bedroom wall, and just like I'm doing the fitness test. You know the fitness test pops? Like I'm doing that, dog. The bleep test. And I just going up and down. And that's what I do, but I don't do that often enough. So like in a week, I'll probably do that like 3 times, you know, like over 7 days, which is not really that helpful. But it makes me feel good after I've done it. So it's like, okay, at least I can, you know, do something. But I should definitely be doing a lot more. But that's pretty much all I do if I'm going to be working out and stuff.
Well, at least that's something.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing nothing.
Oh, wait. Vumi, we're on the same page. I've literally done absolutely nothing. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I'm a man of gym. I'm not going to sit here and lie. But what happened to me last year, I'm an epileptic. And I had a seizure, unfortunately. And what happened during that seizure is that I fractured my collarbone. Or I broke my collarbone, and I fractured another part of the collarbone. So my movement is quite restricted. So when it comes to doing stuff like push-ups, I can't actually do push-ups properly. And if I do, I've tried, like over the past week, if I do, it hurts quite a bit. So I think I'm going to have to go for some reconstructive or surgery or some physiotherapy or something like that. Because I definitely need some rehab. Things are not really grand there, and it's been over a year now.
Yes, so, and the way Musa loves to gym, dog.
Yeah, gym bunny.
Yeah, he definitely was, bro.
Ah, boy, it's a very sad time in my life. But you know, I got back into things like eating McDonald's. You know, McDonald's has a very, very soft, deep place in my heart. So, you know, I found that love again.
At least you guys have fast food, like, and stuff. We don't have anything.
No. Gents, don't be confused. Hey, this is actually something I wanted to bring up to you, gents, actually. So, we don't have, there's no Nando's, there's no McDonald's, there's no Subway, none of that. Like, all of that stuff is closed. But, Pizza Hut and Domino's and Papa John's, the pizza places, are all open.
How did they swing that, actually?
I don't know, but they're all operating. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Is that just because they're able to do deliveries there? Is that why?
Maybe that's why. But even McDonald's did deliveries. They started doing that on Uber Eats. So, I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah, I think they made some good contributions to Boris Johnson or something, bro. There's no way.
Maybe it's a loophole in their law, in the law or something.
That pizza is okay.
Yeah.
So pizza is not considered fast food, essentially. Do you think that's why?
No. It definitely is. But you know what I think it is, eh? I think, I don't know. I was just thinking about it because it made literally no sense to me. But I think the way that they construct pizzas doesn't necessarily involve people making it. I think it's very, very, very automated. And for that reason, they have like approval from whichever medical, if it was in America, it would be the CDC or whatever. Yeah. They don't see it as like a risk of passing on the disease because of the way the pizza is made. Because even when, because we looked at all of our pizzas and they all looked quite uniform. You know what I mean? So I think there's some loophole.
They're made by machines.
Yeah.
Damn.
Possibly.
That just makes it so much worse though for me. Now I don't, because I actually never thought about, but I remember, like, you know when we used to have No, we're not used to because we do have Domino's. But there used to be a Domino's in Seapoint.
Oh, no, used to because it closed.
All of it.
Shut down. Yeah.
Even
just as the lockdown started, they ceased operations.
Oh, wow. So, like, yeah. Well, anyway, so, like, you know, there was one in Seapoint that had closed down a long time ago. And I remember they used to make, you know, stuff from scratch. Well, that's what I used to think. Like, they'll have the dough, and they'll have the dough ready-made, I think. And then they'll just, so they'll have that, like, separated or whatever in terms of size.
Yeah, and then they just plonk the stuff on it.
Yeah, and then they just... Yeah, but it was dough that still needed to be spread out into a pizza, like, you know, circle. So it was like just a round, you know, blob or whatever. But man, the way actually, yeah, if things are automated, it just seems less. I don't know. It doesn't seem that appetizing no more.
Less of a risk.
I mean, it's less of a risk, but.
You'll still say, delicious.
That's what
probably, probably. You're probably right.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, for Mamzo to be cooking every day is a bit much. So when, you know, they actually put... This is what got me. We get all of our mail, like, through the door, right? There's, like, a little hole in the door where they put all of the envelopes and whatever. So then now, on Monday night... When mom's coming back from walking, we look at the mail. On top it says 2 for Tuesdays. We're like, what? You mean we can order pizza and save money? And they still can bring this thing. So we did that. Tuesday, that's what we did. But also, this is another thing I want to bring up. can you guys concede that South Africa... is a nation of alcoholics.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. There's no two ways about it.
Because,
yeah,
guys,
yeah, booze is not
shut down here. I can still go and buy. I bought a liter of gin yesterday.
Don't tell us that.
Oh, no, that's very depressing to hear now. Because, dog, but yeah, man, like... We are definitely a nation that's dependent on alcohol, but I mean, there's...
In a dangerous way.
Yeah, in a dangerous way, but at the same time, there's a lot of... there's a lot of things to it. But I think just at the surface of it, I think it was a good idea. I don't think it's nice, but I think it was a good idea, man.
But why?
There's many reasons. So there's
many reasons why. I mean, it's just you'd rather be on lockdown without it, in terms of policing. You know what I'm saying? It's just better to have no alcohol than to have alcohol in the mix. Whether or not that's right or morally correct or legally correct in any case is another story. But I think it's just better, you know, for in terms of policing.
But it's also a thing about ensuring that people that you're not in scenarios where people's inhibitions are down and then they can't follow, like, social distancing, covering their mouths. And it especially applies to sort of the very crowded areas in the townships and the taverns in the townships. So it's just to keep some form of social response, because the thing is, if people are out and about inebriated and all that stuff, it gets harder to stop the spread. But I mean, I think it has exposed some serious lack of imagination around how we can exist without it, you know. Because the thing is, It's not addicts, it's not alcoholics saying that, like, they're not giving us source. Like, we know, like, alcoholics have a legitimate problem.
Yeah.
But the fact that collectively as a society that we moan so much about it, or it was given so much significance, I think is quite telling.
Yeah, dog. We need our we need alcohol in our in our society to function. That's really what it boils down to.
You know, to the extent.
Do we need it though?
No, most definitely.
We need it. We need it.
But to the extent where I have three people on my WhatsApp story that have actually gone and researched how to make their own brews. And they're actually doing it. Like, I'm seeing them doing it. Like, it's not a thing of theory. They're actually doing it. I know one person who's actually trying to create apple cider. So, you know, something similar to Copperberg or, you know, even Hunter's or whatever.
Me and my lady love that stuff, bro.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. But even wine, I'm seeing.
Wine. Wine. People are losing their minds now.
How long do people think that we're going to be in lockdown for, that the wine will be that good?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know how it's going to... I don't know how the fermentation process works for wine, but I'm sure it's not something that happens like in 2 weeks or whatever.
Exactly. I guess
it's just desperation though, bro. People need to source. And Vumi, that's what I was telling you, dog. I think we do need it to function. Specifically South African, it's become part of our DNA. We can't root it out. Think about how many sectors alcohol actually just gets into, dog. Every event, every function has to have source, otherwise people just won't. They don't really care much for it.
Have you guys heard about how much it contributes to the SA GDP?
Do you know how much?
I think it's something like it's something crazy, like 40 billion rand.
Annually?
I think so.
I think it'd probably be more, actually.
Yeah,
it was a big amount. When I heard it, I was like, yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, but globally, I mean, it's one of the only industries that doesn't face issues when times are tough. There's certain industries that just never die, like funeral parlors, alcohol.
Yeah,
man. And the thing is, like, that's like an example of a drug that's legal, that's just accepted throughout society now, that, you know, it just is what it is.
Yeah. But because the thing is, if taken in moderation, it can be okay, right? But like things like cigarettes and other drugs, I mean, you can't really take those in moderation. I mean, except like, let's say weed, like, let's leave that out of the equation. But still, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, even if you don't take it, and if the option is there to not take it in moderation, it's still harmful. So you can't really not consider it a problematic substance. But I just think it's harder to impose sort of like a ban on alcohol, because it is more or less a kind of drug that, like, you really have to push it in order for it to cause dysfunction, which, I mean...
Hey, look, dog. Big liquor have been doing their job, dog.
Yeah, I guess.
But now, in terms of cigarettes also being banned, what's up with that there?
You see, there, I actually think there's more of an argument for that to be banned more so than liquor, because cigarettes directly impact your lungs, right? Which is something that the virus impacts as well. It impacts your breathing capabilities. And obviously, if you have a reduced ability to use your lung capacity, it's going to impact you more and you'll be more susceptible to succumbing to the virus, right? So that, on the surface, sounds, you know, it just makes more sense to me why cigarettes would be banned. But obviously, it's just one of those things where they're like, yeah, if we're going to ban alcohol, we might as well ban cigarettes, right? Because,
Although to be honest, I think the alcohol one was based more on sort of like a Puritan perspective and like the Minister of Police going all like mad, because I still think they could have, like maybe closed like taverns, restaurants, bars, like fine, but
yeah,
maybe limited retail hours. But still, I don't have a big problem with this alcohol thing. I really don't. And I don't think it's taking a significant number of livelihoods away, to be honest, the way alcohol manufacturing.
It really is.
Do you think it is?
Yeah. Do you know how many low to middle class black South Africans rely on alcohol retail selling and, you know, and distribution? And
yeah.
Think about how many communities in lower income residential areas depend on the income that they get from shebeens, taverns, bottle stores. You know, it's huge amount. There was a lot of people that were upset. That saw it as being anti-black here in South Africa. There was an element of
wow.
I'm telling you because this is what I was seeing.
Yeah.
They said there was an element of being anti-black because that's one of the largest sort of consumer goods that people in lower, basically. Everyone can afford it, essentially. So it's one of those things where there will always be customers for it. So it's one of the easier options to become an entrepreneur in that sector, for example, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, we just talked about how it's problematic in the sense that it highlights a number of challenges in terms of trying to then enforce.
Oh yes, absolutely. But it still doesn't negate the fact that economically it's hurting a lot of middle and lower class citizens of our country. You know.
Yeah, which is I think still a moment of we should be introspective in the sense that. Why are we having so many people rely on a substance that is a net damager of society? Because yeah, it could support a lot of people, but I think it affects a lot more.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Musa. We really appreciate you calling.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for giving us your time.
Yeah, gents, man. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Really appreciate it. Keep listening, and yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Away.
So this has been your boy MZ.
And your boy Vumi.
And this has been the Much Chats podcast. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Dank.